You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm speaking with Molly Mailing, an ecologist and photographer studying aquatic benthic macroinvertebrates. How are you doing today, Molly?
I'm great. Hi, Katie.
So how did you get into visual communication?
Well, my parents were science and art teachers, so playing with nature and making crafts out of nature was a regular activity throughout my childhood. And I struggled through college to try to find a way to get that back in and combine it. Eventually, during grad school, I finally landed on photography and found that to be not only therapeutic for myself, but a great tool to communicate my science to non-majors, to other scientists, and kind of just kept going with it.
How do you feel that ecologists specifically can benefit from incorporating images into their research and their other projects?
Using photography to explain your research is a highly effective way to explain the work that you're doing in a more direct way. And especially when it comes to our work, when we're talking about places that are far away, it can bring that place to your audience instantaneously. And some of the methods that we use, it's a much more effective way to convey those.
Can you give a specific example of an instance when a photo or a design conveyed a message more clearly or accurately than a phrase or other wording?
Absolutely. One of the best examples I can think of right now is James Balog's work on using imagery to show glacial retreat. And by manipulating time, you can see the changes that are happening at a scale that makes more sense for the human. That's one of the most obvious ways. For myself, you know, I study benthic macroinvertebrates. And when you say that, most people's eyes just glaze over. They don't know what that is. When you show them it's just a bug that lives in water, it instantly makes sense. And then you can continue the conversation because they know what you're talking about.
There has been some research showing that people recognize facial expressions regardless of their cultural background or language, geography. And I think communication on a visual level reaches so many different audiences. Do you think this translates to ecological science as well?
Absolutely. I think that that's one key component that ecologists could embrace through imagery is actually just taking pictures of people. And I know scientists, you know, we're in love with our subjects and we want to document subjects of our study. But what other audiences want to see, especially those that are non-scientists, they're more engaged in seeing the people do the science or seeing how the science affects people. So I think as scientists, we forget to take pictures of people doing science and the way that the science is important to society.
So how can researchers incorporate images into their research and other projects?
Oh, goodness. In so many ways. You can use images in your research or to communicate your research. And there's some really cutting edge ways using a simple robot to collect gigapixel images that are huge. You can use those to ask new questions in ecology. And then using time-lapse photography to demonstrate processes that we couldn't normally see, quantifying data from that. And then, of course, using imagery to communicate your research to new audiences in K through 12 classrooms, to use your imagery to publish with an article or even to submit to a local newspaper. Yeah, there are a myriad of ways depending on, you know, your particular research and your particular interests in how to communicate it.
The basis for communication is exchanging information, and visual art, like photography, some people could see that as displaying information rather than interacting. Personally, I feel that art does allow for interaction because there's audiences and they're interpreting it and that sort of thing. But I was just curious what your thoughts are on whether photography is an exchange of information.
Yeah, I like that. Well, again, the GigaPan robot that allows you to take these gigapixel images, there's an online interface with that. And the main pillars of that project is to create imagery that's explorable and that actually promotes interaction in actually more of a direct way than I think you were just mentioning. So there are some really interesting things that are coming about that allow for that direct interaction. As far as the indirect, I think, you know, as a scientist, I got into science because I'm intrigued. I have questions and I also like to communicate those answers to people. And, you know, through peer reviewed literature and my figures and tables, I'm pretty limited in the audience I can convey information to and interact with. So I feel that the imagery allows for that interaction and promotes that interaction that normally might not happen.
How can kids become involved with this?
Oh boy. The accessibility to digital imagery today is just amazing. And, you know, everyone has a digital camera. I can't think of a single person that doesn't, whether it's on their phone or an actual camera. And kids are embracing technology at a much earlier age. And instead of using that to distance themselves from each other and from us and from their environment, you can use cameras to encourage them to engage with nature. From a personal experience, my son has a camera in his hand when we're walking outside and we'll do scavenger hunts. You know, I'll say, find something yellow and he'll look for yellow flowers, or find a bug and he'll look for bugs and take pictures of them. And it's a great learning tool in that regard, because then you can bring those images home and talk about them and look them up online and see what flowers you found or what bugs you found. So that's just one idea.
Do you have any recommendations for amateur photographers, people who are just getting started and don't really know where to start?
If you can get your hands on just a basic workshop or a class nearby, there are just a few simple concepts that if you really grasp, it definitely increases the quality of your imagery. And you'd say it turns it from a snapshot to a photograph. If you learn a couple simple rules, you can really start to take more intentional photographs that they have an aesthetic quality that draws people in a little more. And it doesn't take much, just a few tips and tricks, and you can really make a difference with your own images.
Well, do you have any final comments about visual communication in general or photography?
One main comment is that I think that as scientists, this is a tool that has great potential to really change how we communicate and how we do science. And I think we're just at the forefront here. And I think the more we embrace it and incorporate it into our work, the more effective our work can be and more societal benefits that we can gain from our research.
Well, thanks so much for speaking with me today, Molly. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Katie.
That was photographer and ecologist Molly Mailing on using images and photography in ecological research and projects in ecology.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.